Potpourri. Willkommen, welcome, bienvenue. Gedanken, Thoughts, Ideen, Leben, Life, Spaßiges, Plaisir, Interviews, Wissenschaft, Musik, Reisen, Traveling, Voyage, Sprache, Languages, Langue.
Hello and welcome everybody to Potpourri. You're listening to Florian and I'm going to talk in English today about Iceland. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Potpourri, meine Lieben. Ihr hört wieder den Florian zu und heute werde ich mal in Englisch über Island erzählen. Bonjour tout le monde, vous écoutez Potpourri, je m'appelle Florian, et aujourd'hui je vais parler au sujet de l'Islande, en anglais. Alright, so first of all, I would like to thank Baruch, Evan, and also say hello to his charming wife, Anat, for the little tip to actually first announce the language I'm majorly going to talk in during one podcast, so people could actually understand whether it's worth staying tuned or not. So thanks for the tip, Baruch, and a big hello to the Hamilton and to Ireland. Now, as I said, I would like to talk about Iceland today. I was there in the second half of August this year on holidays for 2 weeks. I rented a little rental car and I went around the ring road. Well, first of all, it was a beautiful holidays and I could really recommend going there. Before I start talking about Iceland, I might give you a few background infos, hard facts, so to say. As you all know, Iceland is located off northeast of Iceland is located north-northwest of the English coast. It actually sits on top of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which is the ridge where the Eurasian and the American tectonic plate move apart. And if it wasn't for this movement and for the ridge, Iceland wasn't there, because it's made purely of volcanic rock, which has spilled out of the earth right there. Now, Iceland is about 100,000 square kilometers large, has a population of 300,000 inhabitants, roughly 296,000 to be precise, which gives you a density of about roughly three Icelanders per square kilometer of Iceland. Its highest mountain is 2,119 meters high, and as Ireland has got a very cryptic name which I shouldn't dare to pronounce. It's a very wealthy country, only 3.1% of an unemployment rate. It's got a very nice economy running smoothly and everything is extremely pricey over there. What else? Iceland, well, it's very cold. It's got a lot of ice caps, basically, and actually has got the third largest ice cap of the world. The largest would be Antarctica, I guess. Second largest is somewhere in Greenland, and the third largest is in Iceland. Well, the weather was okay when I was there. We were actually very lucky. So second week of August that was, and I could really recommend that time because it's sort of off. It's not in the main high touristy season, and it's not off season yet, so a number of things are still running. You could still go whale watching and go puffin watching, even though we couldn't see any puffins because the puffins for us were already gone, unfortunately. They're so cute. I just love those cute little birds. Have you ever seen a picture of a puffin? Jeez, they're so lovely. I don't know. They're just cute. I'm amazed by those cute little birds. They always look worried. They've got this little funny thing behind their eyes. It's like a little stain in the feathers, which makes them permanently look worried. And that just makes them look so cute, because you always think this little bird sitting there, Oh, it's just so worried. It's got some problem and you would like to help it. It just feels so, I don't know. Like if you look into a little kid's face, it's always cute. You always want to help it in some way, protect it. Anyway, puffins are cute. Have a look at them. At a picture at least. Now, we couldn't see those because they were already gone. We could have seen some whales, but as a student, I couldn't afford the trip. So we just had to stick to the mainland. But that also has a lot of beautiful things, like waterfalls. You find thousands and thousands of waterfalls in Iceland. They're actually so frequent in Iceland that Icelanders themselves don't consider them to be something special or something remarkable. It's just totally ordinary for them to see a waterfall. I'd always compare that probably to us Central Europeans. If we see like a tree or a forest, it's just totally average. And if an Icelander sees a waterfall, it's totally average to him. However, if an Icelander sees a forest, it's totally amazing for him. Icelanders love forests, and because they don't have any. They just have one small little thing, which is like, I think 3 kilometers by 2 kilometers, like tiny. And they're very, very proud of that. And the families flock there during the summer seasons, just go walk among the trees and enjoy the forest and just go watch the largest tree in Iceland, which is like a whopping 18 meters. But anyways, I mean, not too bad for Iceland. I mean, there really isn't any rock, any forests, because it's just rock, bare rock. You don't really see how possibly a tree could grow there. Of course, you have some areas where there's some sand, and some places are also covered with very thick and very soft moss, which is actually quite amazing to walk on. But besides those few parts where there's a little bit moss, it's just bare rock, bare volcanic rock. So are the streets. Well, they're not bare rock. I mean, there are some of them are bare rock, actually, yes, but many of them are gravel. And you're going to be a very experienced gravel driver once you've done your trip around Iceland. So in those 14 days, to give you a few more details, I drove around 3,900 kilometers around the outside. We had a little pre-booked trip. That is, we get the flights and the cars and a few accommodations along the way. And what you do is you get those vouchers and you have to go past the different accommodations which are booked for you in advance. Those accommodations, they can have different level depending on your personal wealth. My personal wealth is very limited, so we only stayed in very little small farm places. But that also had a very nice advantage in from my point of view, because you basically were just staying with the families themselves. We were really eating in the very family kitchen, and the kids were sitting next to us doing homeworks and asking all kinds of questions. So that was very, very nice to see, because that way you could really get to know some Icelanders, a little bit about the culture, talk about this and that. So that was a very, very nice experience, and I really appreciate that. Yeah, Iceland is very pricey. To give you an example, I had a little pint of Egils beer, which is like the local Icelandic beer, and it was served in bottle, so hardly any costs for the pub. They just gave you the bottle, and for that bottle I paid €8.70. Fortunately, the prices in Iceland, they don't have euros, they have their Icelandic crown, and the advantage of that is that you actually, well, it doesn't hit you right away in the face. I mean, if you see a price in euro, you know how much it is. If it's not in euro, you still have to convert it in your head, and you sort of lose the sense of the amount of money you actually use. The very only thing that was cheaper than here in Europe, in Central Europe, was the Coke. Yes, Coca-Cola, like Coke. And Icelanders have the highest per capita consumption of Coke worldwide. Imagine that. That way you got about 2 liters of Coke. A 2 liter bottle was, I think, 80 cents or so. Like really Coca-Cola brand Coke. So that was impressive, but that was really the only thing you could save money on in Iceland. Well, so I mean, there are so many things I could talk about Iceland. I mean, you just have a look in the travel guide and that'll tell you about a lot of things. But another thing which I found very remarkable was the Hakal. Hakal is an Icelandic speciality. It's actually the Greenland shark. Now, the Greenland shark is supposed to be one of the perfect animals because it doesn't have any enemies. If it dies, it only dies because of age, or maybe because it gets caught by a human in a fisher net. The Greenland shark hasn't got any liver and it hasn't got any kidney, so it's totally poisoned in itself. And because it is so poisonous, A, nobody wants to eat it, and B, it can't get sick because it already is sick. It's constantly sick, and that's why it is, again, healthy in its way. That was confusing. Anyway, so it's totally unedible for a human. So some Icelander must have had some weird idea, and I don't want to think of the circumstances, how he figured out. But the way you make Hakal edible is that you actually bury it underground, you let it rot for 3 to 4 months, then you take it out of the ground and you dry it on the air, just outside, under a little shed, and for another 3 months, I think, so it rots and degrades a bit more, and this whole rotting business must do some chemical miracle to actually make that thing edible. So I tried that and it just tasted horrible. It really tasted like fish that has been rotting away for 7 months with some citric acid added to it. So it really does taste horrible, but once you've survived it, you're actually proud of yourself that you did survive it. So you definitely have to try that if you any see it. I mean, there's one place which is on the Snæfells Peninsula, and I can't remember the name of the place, but if you have a look in the Lonely Planet or some other better travel guide, it'll certainly tell you about that. So definitely worth a try. This is a very spontaneous podcast, and well, but for the few facts I just took off the internet just before I went home today. Because of it's very spontaneous, I might just stop here and save some more stuff I could talk about later for another podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it. I said hello to Baruch and Anat, and I would also like to say hello to Marcus again for giving me a little feedback. Thanks a lot for that. I would also like to thank the guitarist of, his last name is Preston, what's his name? Michael Preston, there we go. Michael Preston from the band. I played their song on one of my last podcasts, and he dropped me a line that he thanked me very much for playing it, and as I replied to it on my guest book, as I am thanking him and his band and in general all the artists that put their music on portals like PodSafe Music Network so that us podcasters could actually take that music and play it free of charge. I really appreciate that, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity they give us to play their music. I mean, I think it's a give and take thing, right? We play the music and we're glad it's free, and they're also glad that somebody plays their music at all. So that's a very good thing, and I thank you very much. Same for Robin Stein. She's a very, very nice jazz singer. I'm listening to her songs and I really like them. I've got them all on my iPod, and I decided to play one of her songs also on my podcast, on my last podcast. And she said thanks for that. And in return, I also say a very, very big thank you again for putting your really high quality music, putting it onto the net so we can use it. So thank you very much again. Now, I don't want to hold you up anymore. See what I'm going to talk about next. Probably it's going to be a podcast on Ireland, or I think I'm going to interview a workmate of mine. He's a French guy, and I decided to interview him on what he thinks about Germany and about Germans. So that's probably going to be interesting as well to know. So I say bye for now and talk to you later. As I said, bye bye. So, bevor ich hier Feierabend mache, vielen Dank für eure Aufmerksamkeit. Ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen. Und wir hören uns dann beim nächsten Mal, wenn ich vielleicht einen Franzosen interviewe oder mal über Irland wieder spreche. Alors, merci pour votre écoute. La prochaine fois, ça va être peut-être en français, avec un Français. Moi, je vais faire un petit interview et lui demander ce qu'il pense des Allemands et de l'Allemagne. Donc, j'espère que ça va être intéressant. Merci pour votre écoute et à plus tard. Okay, so, das war's jetzt aber wirklich. Tschüss! And again, I've forgotten a very important thing. I'm going to put a little link into the comment tag of this MP3 file and onto my homepage. And this link is going to take you to the little webpage I made about the trip itself. So it has a lot of photos on it and a few background details on what I actually did and what I paid and everything. The English translation is unfortunately not yet done, but I'm working on it, and hopefully in a couple of weeks at the latest, the whole page is going to be out of the beta phase and finally on the release stage. So definitely check that out and have a look into the tag of this MP3 file. Ich sag's nochmal fix auf Deutsch. Ich habe ganz viele schöne Fotos und ein paar Hintergrundinformationen von meiner Island-Reise in eine Webseite gemacht, und den Link dafür findet ihr entweder auf meiner Homepage oder auch in dem Kommentar-Tag dieser MP3-Datei. Vielen Dank, tschüss!